עמוד 53.
Okay. Skipping to page 53 because that one wasn't a portions are the same. You'll feel there are no differences in the languages too. Well, except for Safa Tzniut and other places where he speaks very, very Kabbalistically. Discernments like Se'arot, Chivrata, it's very hard. A lot of concepts, terms, that just listening to it as a kind of virtue, Sgula. But the rest, Safad Tzniuta, Ito Rabba, Ito Azuta, are not that bad. You can hear it, Sfirot Parzufim, but so what? It's still Kabbalah. Of course it's a little well, maybe later, we'll see. We'll get a feeling about all those things, that it doesn't matter what names we use. It'll always give us createdness, an emotional response. Let's read it. Zohar for All, Parashat Noach, page 53. The essay is, for the house when it was being built. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Land is desire, one language, one speech, meaning everything is in one meaning, one kli, without differences between the parts, without distinction. And the house, when it was being built, was built of a perfect stone prepared at the quarry. The house, when it was being built, meaning it was built by itself. But didn't Solomon and all the craftsmen who were there, did not build it? Stone, building, house, is all about understanding, attaining, building, perceiving, receiving. Yes. Shin Chav Dalet. But so it is, as it is written, of beaten work shall thou make the candlestick. If it is of beaten work, it means that the craftsmen were beating the metal with a sledgehammer. Then what is make? Which means that it was made by itself. But certainly everything happened at the temple by itself, in token and in miracle. Because the craftsmen began to do the work, the craft itself taught the craftsmen how to do it, which they didn't know initially how to do it before they started it. A person only has to prepare his desire, and the light corrects it. Shin Chafei. Because the blessing of the Creator was on their hands. Hence it is written, their hands meaning their kelim. Hence it is written, when it was being built, that it was being built by itself, because he taught the craftsmen how to begin to do it. And the Rishima, recollection of that craft, did not depart from their eyes, and they were looking at the Rishima, the recollection, and do until the whole house was built. And that's how a person should picture it to himself. He's the craftsman. He's the one who prepares his hand, his kli, his tool. his desire, how he wants it to happen, even if he doesn't really understand what it is. It's a future claim, future fulfillment. It's all in the future. But that's why it's called that it was done by itself. But in the preparation, that's the meaning of being a craftsman, when he walks toward it with faith, and then it happens.
Item Shin Chafav, built of perfect stone prepared at the quarry. It is said, Salomon, without the letter Yud.
Perfect. Shlema.
It is said perfect without the letter Yud. A perfect stone, it is, of course, because it is written without the Yud. You can read it as perfect and imperfect. You can read it as Salomon or perfect. The Nukva is called the stone of the king, that the peace is his. A journey means that the stone, which is the perfect stone, which is Nukva, went from above and came and served them, and the craft were done, and so on. The process that we go through in the building of the Kli is what we study in the wisdom of Kabbalah, is that we prepare ourselves in stages. And all those stages are depicted to us in the Torah as the journeys of the people of Israel and the tribes and so on, because this is the entire inner world of a person. One should see this inside of him. So what the Torah tells us about is the qualities of our souls, the tribes, the nations, all of that is only for the inner depiction. There is nothing here that has to do with geography or history or anything. It's all our inner discernments. Item Shin Chaf Zayin. Neither hammer nor axe were heard, because the worm called emery burst through everything, and nothing was heard because they didn't need to work in other vessels. And every token and miracle was. So the light comes from above and it fixes them, corrects and connects the vessels so that they'll be prepared for taking on the form of the light, the form of bestowal, and that's how all of man's desires take on the same form. And it happens by what's called a miracle, meaning all the actions, which are also called actions of either still or vegetative or animate, and that is how the form of bestowal is built within man. I don't know how to put it, but it's how the still vegetative and animate desires we have joined the speaking ones, the speaking level, which is the intention. So here it talks about trees and stones and the worm, the emery, all kinds of such discernments. And all of that, the light which comes takes all those discernments in the desires of still vegetative and animate and structures them in a way that the correct kli, similar to the light, is built. So look at the stone or the tree or the worm or the emery as desires on the still vegetative and animate levels of us, how they unite and take on the form of bestowal, and this is how the temple is built, which contains the exact quality of bestowal as the lights. They didn't need hammers nor axes to crack the stones.
Break the stones.
To break the stones, because they had the worm called emery. And they put it on the stones, and the stones would break under it. He writes upon them with ink and shows them the emery from outside, and then they break on their own. The degrees are called stones, and the judgments, which break the degrees in their middle to Kachab and Tum, are called Shamir, emery. And it is called so because it is Shamur, kept from the grip of the external ones. Because that Malchut is completely mitigated in Bina, and it becomes just like Bina, and they don't have any grip in Bina. And the vessel of Barzel, metal, iron, are the judgments of the bones of the restricted Malchut, the point of the quality of judgment. And if her voice is heard, the Mochin depart from Nukva right away. And since the breaking of the stones, the emergence of Katnut of her degrees is done by the Shamir, the Emery, the Katnut of Bina, their building is made, the reception of Mochin of Gadlut, also from Bina. And then the Nukva can rise and clothe the upper Bina. Then Nukva is called a temple, because she received the Mochin from Abba Ve'ima, which is called Kodesh, holiness. However, if they didn't have that Shamir, the Emery, and there was a voice of iron tools heard, the point of the quality of judgment would not receive the Nukva would not receive Mochin of holiness forever, and the temple could not be built. So what does it mean to build the temple? That instead of my own Kelim, I would understand how to make and how to work with my iron Kelim, my iron vessels. Meaning that I use the vessels of Zat of Bina, Katnut of Bina, that they will will be laid on the stones and they will break. But according to what I think and the force of Bina, that, and this is how Bina penetrates Malchut, and in this way, meaning gradually, by steps, the building is built, the kli, the vessel. So there are many discernments here, but you know, in all kinds of levels and layers of still vegetative, animate, and speaking of the will to receive, Bina has to go in there and provide its form, and then Malchut, the matter, which takes on the form, becomes that temple. That's how it happens in man. Gradually, he builds himself and he prepares himself and gives himself away so that Bina can work on him that way. And along with it, he has to take part as much as he can, besides the act itself, which comes from above. But man has to come to the realization and the understanding and participation from below. And that is called the effort that he makes. And that effort is not simple. He imagines to himself how it needs to happen. And there are steps in that too. Obviously, he gets that form from Bina too. Item Shin Chafchet. How likable, pleasant are the words of Torah.
Happy
is he who engages in them and knows how to walk the path of truth. And the building, the house, when it's being built, it means that when it rose in his desire, the Creator's desire, to please that which the cherishes.
He cherishes.
That which he cherishes. The desire arose from within the thought to expand. That Bina, called the desire, came out of Rosh Avarichanpin, called thought, and the Bina expanded from that place which is the blocked thought, from the place of Chochmah Stima Avarichanpin, which is unknown. Because Chochmah Avarichanpin was blocked, and it is unknown in the degrees of Atzilut to the end, until the end of correction. And that Bina which came out of Rosh Avarichanpin is used to bestow Chochmah instead of the Chochmah Stima of Arichanpin. It means that we receive everything from Bina. Bina contains all the forces, Gaav Bina, Zat of Bina, Katnut, Gadlut of Bina, all those qualities which literally build the parts of the house from stones. They bring the force of growth. And that's how it's built. From below, we have to describe those things that Bina is supposed to do to us. If we try to describe them, that is called the effort. When we try that, how much we can do it doesn't matter. What matters is the effort, the desire, Malchut is willing to be closer to Bina, influenced by Bina, governed by Bina, to really be included in it, so that Bina will come and fulfill not just the desires, but how can I put it? How the will to receive previously only planned and lived in a certain way and expected things to itself, then Bina has to come and do what it does, meaning changing all the values and desires and plan and perspective on the world and life and everything. Change that from Malchut to Bina. That is the construction of the temple. So, what is it built from? From the same desire that goes through Babylon to Egypt and begins to connect in the giving of the Torah because there's no choice, and then by attaining the quality of Bina in the desert, then the house is starting to be built. The house means that we're raising our vessels to a degree where they will hold the illumination of Chochmah. Because the plain Bina is not a house. A house is already a receptacle where there is illumination of Chochmah, where there is revelation of the Creator. And although it is in Bina, it is the illumination of Chochmah. The revelation of godliness is the revelation of Chokhmah. So everything comes from our matter. It's the same matter. Nothing's new, but the program is new. The perspective, the observation is new.
Shin Chaf Tet. Until Bina expanded within Malchut, Ratzed, and stayed in the Garon of Arich Anpin, a place which always sprouts as in the spirit of life. Spirit, Ruach, means the level of Vak. And because Bina came out of the Rosh, the Arich Anpin, into the Garon, throat, she became Vak without Gar. This is why he says that it is the spirit of life. Afterwards, when that thought, Chokhmah de Arich Anpin, expanded and was at that place, Bina received Gal from Chokhmah de Arich Anpin again. And Bina once more became a thought, which is then called the living God. Because before Bina obtained Gal, she was only in the letters Mi of Elohim, Mem Yud. Because the letters Ele, Aleph Lamed Hei, fell from her to Zon. And when she returned to the Rosh of Arich Anpin with the letters Ele, the name Elohim was made in her again. But it was still blocked and did not shine due to the absence of Chasadim. And when she acquired the three lines, the name Living God was made in her. Shin Lamed. The emanator wanted to further expand and to be revealed from there, from Bina. Fire, wind, and water came out of Bina, mingled together, three lines. And Jacob, a whole man, came out. He is Anpin, and he is one voice that came out and was heard. From this we hear that the thought that was blocked in concealment, Bina, was heard and revealed through Yaakov, who is Zeranpin. Shin Lamed Aleph. This thought further expanded to be revealed, and that voice knocked and struck the lips. And then the speech came out, which completed everything and revealed everything. From this we learn that everything is that same blocked thought that was inside, and it is all one. It is known that there are five types of levels, which are called Naran Chai, which emerge through a Zivug Deka'a in the five Prinot discernments in the Masach. These are the root and the four Prinot Chubtum. Over the Prinat Shoresh, the root, the level of Nefesh emerges. Over Prina Aleph, Prina 1, the level of Ruach. Over the second Prina, Prina Bet Neshama. Over the third Prina, Prina Gimel Chaya. And over the fourth Prina, Prina Daled Yechida. And all the Potsufim of Atzilut received from Pede Arich Anpin, each a level that belongs to him. And he measures, he dispenses for them according to the five prinot in the Masach, called the five outlets of the mouth, palate, throat, tongue, teeth, and lips. Therefore, when Bina emerged from Rosh de Arich Anpin and was diminished, was and waned, and could not receive but only Nefesh Ruach, which are Vak without a Rosh, then Arich Anpin gives her with respect to the Zivug Daka over the screens, Masachim, of Chech and Gaon, palate and throat, and dispenses for her the level of Ruach from there, which is called the breath of life. This is called Katnut Debina. From the level of Ruach onwards, they are Mochin de Gadlut, called Gao. Hence, there are three Bchinot, discernments of Gao. Neshama Chaya Yechida, called thought, speech, thought, voice, speech. They emerge on the Masachim of Bchina Bet, Gimel, and Dalet. The level of Bina, called thought, emerges over the Masach of Bchina Bet in the Peh, mouth, called tongue. And once she obtained the level of Neshama from Peh de Arich Anpin, which is called thought, Bina is called by the name Living God. And this level is considered unheard. But it is secretive. Her voice is not heard. You see how it begins to picture things for us? The Rosh, the Guf, the body, head, lips, the voice, the speech, the five outlets of the mouth. These are forces, qualities, but he calls them this way. They're nothing tangible. These are forces that become more limited and constrained. So they are called, these forces are called by these names. Lips, cheeks, mouth, throat, head, body, teeth, tongue. There is no such thing, and there never was. But now that the forces accumulate, their gathering or dispersal, the way these forces are, that's how we call them, by names of something that is seemingly real. So we gradually try to shift from images to the forces behind the screen, which depicts for us. So is that clear? Just pay attention to how he constantly describes it. He wants to lure us, to pull us into the forces. And even though he constantly uses names that we perceive as something tangible, okay, so this is that, as if there is an object in the air. There's nothing, only forces. Even with respect to states. These states don't exist, nothing exists. But yes and no, yes and no. What you feel exists, what you don't feel doesn't exist. Above, below, in terms of importance. Or it says, shift to Bchina Gimel, Bchina Dalet, Bchina Bet. These Bchinot don't exist. When I experience them, when I feel them, I determine them. It's all with respect to the attaining individual. But it is secretive, and her voice is not heard, because the illumination of Chokhmah does not appear at that level. Therefore, even though she suffices to be in Gaon, she is enough for being Gaon. Therefore, even though she is enough to be Gaon, and a Rosh for Bina herself, because she does not need illumination of Chokhmah, still, Zon cannot receive from her more than Vak without a rosh. This is because the Anpin needs specifically the illumination of Chokhmah. This is the meaning of and her voice, which is Zeranpin, called voice, is not heard, does not appear on the outside, because the voice remains in vak without a rosh. Therefore, the illumination of this gal is considered secretive. And the level of chaya, called voice, emerges on the masach of Prina Gimel in the peh, called teeth, shinaim. At that level, there is illumination of Chokhmah. And for this reason, he receives from her, Zeranpin receives from her too. Zeranpin is called voice, and it becomes gal for him. And it is heard outside, meaning begets souls to the lower ones. And the level of neshama, which did not shine the level of gal to Zeranpin, as it is written, and her voice is not heard. Now her voice is heard. So we have many zivugim between light and kli, and each zivug gives us a result. This is teeth, palate, throat, both with respect to lights and with respect to kelim, which together form like a spiritual object, which is really these two forces, receiving and giving, when they unite. And in the bonding, that specific bonding between them, they are given that name. Osh, guf, shinaim, yadayim, raglaim. In other words, head, body, legs, hands, or animals, or plants. Each desire and each light is divided into all kinds of pieces, little molds. And this is the whole of reality. We just picture it as something that exists unchanging. That's why our world is called imaginary world or still world, the last degree of the still, because you don't see the changes in what came out of the zivugim of light and kli. We too, what we feel, what we think, everything. The still, vegetative, animated, speaking, sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch, whatever. However I perceive things is only perception of light and kli. But at the smallest and lowest level, they seemingly don't change. In my perception, they acquire a kind of image of an unchanging existence. And this is what I call my world. Okay, let's continue. And the level of Yechida, called voice, emerges on Masach of Prina Daled in the Pei, called Svatayim, lips. Can you hear out in the back? Because after a Zivug Daka was made in the Svatayim, lips, the level of Yechida emerged, which is called speech, which complements everything and reveals everything. In it, all five lights, Na'an Chai, are completed, and in it, there is the complete revelation of the illumination of Chokhmah. From here, we learn that all of these Na'an Chai are of the blocked thought, which is the level of Bina, which was inside and could not shine to the lower ones, which are Zon. And now, that Bina expanded from there and shines for Zon the two levels, Chaya and Yechida. And through her, they now became voice and speech. Because Zon cannot receive from Peh Te'ari Chanpin, but Bina receives the levels from Ari Chanpin and gives them to Zon. And they become voice and speech in a way that they are only the expansion of the thought.
Item Shin Lamed Bet. Since this expansion came from Bina, and the speech was made, meaning that it extended to the Nukva with the force of that voice, which is Zeranpin, who receives from Bina and bestows upon the Nukva. Then it is said, and the house, when it was being built, that it was built by itself, by the sign and the miracle. Because the mochin that were completed in Bina were bestowed upon the house by Zeranpin without any act of the lower ones, who necessarily need the tools of iron or the vessels of iron, which is the point of the quality of judgment. When it was built, it is not written but it says being built. So if the writing indicates that it was built by itself, it would be sufficient to say when the house was built. Why did it say when the house was being built? So those mochin were shining then at each and every time in a continuous coupling. Zivug. And it is because the Zon, when they have those mochin, called voice and speech, then they rise and clothe the upper Abba Ve'ima, which are in a continuous zivug for the world. And therefore the Zon were made like them. Because the lower one who rises to the upper one becomes like him. The perfect stone means Solomon's stone. It is written about the crown that was made by his mother, Bina. And so when the Nukva receives those crowns, she's called Solomon's Stone. It also says about the third temple that it will be built by itself, that it should come in a complete form and descend from the heavens and land on Jerusalem at the place where the first and then the second temple were. So this is what it means. That in each and every action which the lower one did with the quality of judgment, with what's called the vessel of iron, if he restricts that, and instead of that, allows that to be built in his desire by the Bina, then it is called built by itself. It's not something that is unique to the third temple, but that kind of building, construction, both in the first and second temple, was made by the force of Bina. But there is always a participation of Malchut, which plans and tries and searches, and as if it does everything besides the act itself. When it prevents itself from awakening the quality of judgment and allows Bina, with her quality of mercy, to break the stones and build. What is the sign and miracle that are mentioned here? That action when the lower one builds the picture together with the upper one. The upper one together with the lower one. The lower one prepares the kli. What do you mean? So what is the miracle? A miracle means that Malchut receives the quality of Bina and begins to behave with an intention of bestowal. That's called miracle. We don't really understand it. How the will to receive, how could it be that the will to receive will want to use itself in order to bestow? How does the will to receive develops the sensitivity, the feeling, the impression that something happens to someone that is not it? It's not its nature. How can it work like that? Tell me, what is the difference between a rock and a plant and an animal? Whatever you say, eventually it's a desire that lives inside itself and either feels empty or fulfilled. But the Bina brings the feeling of shame, the feelings of belonging to the upper one. And what is the belonging to the upper one? It means that there's a source. There's a source of goodness. Okay, good. So I'll use it to enjoy. Here there is an addition of quality that is supernatural, above nature. It's impossible. There is no connection between getting the quality of bestowal from the upper one and doing whatever actions towards that from below. This is why it says, I labor and I find. It's just a finding. It's above nature. It's literally a miracle. Because it's just impossible that the matter, which is a will to receive, wants to bestow. And that it's like that vinegar will light fire. So the building of the temple is with that the will to receive the matter takes on the form of bestowal of holiness. In every action that happens, it's a miracle. How to add the intention of bestowal to the matter of the will to receive. Bestowing in order to bestow, that I can understand. That's also not simple, but you can make that sort of calculation. We see that children, little ones, don't have that thing. It's only for grown ones. Grown-ups who can use the level of klipat, they are in that level to some extent, they can use bestowing in order to receive, in order to benefit. A kid can't. He only had to exchange something for something else in order to get more, to give in order to get. They can't do it. You see how in our world, we can't get along with each other. We can't even bestow in order to receive. Nations and entire countries can't do it with each other. It's very hard. In the framework of the global world, we didn't yet grow to become grown-ups. We're still like kids. We can't even build yet or imagine a relationship where I give you and you give me and everyone's benefiting. It's an egoistic system. There is nothing to it more than that. And we didn't even reach that yet. And that's just giving in order to receive. And here, we're talking about receiving the quality of bestowal, meaning feeling the others, not what I can get from the others, not how I can imagine the sorrow of others in me so that I am afraid that the same thing will happen to me, so I share the sorrow, but something that exists only in others, and I feel what's happening in others. How can I do that? How can I extract a sensor out of myself and put it in another and feel what's happening there. If I put it somewhere, then it means that my sensor is there, my will to receive is there. But that isn't how it happens. Because if your will to receive is there, then you feel in your will to receive. You're creating a simulation within yourself for what happens to another. And then you're sorry for someone else's sorrow, you're crying, you're laughing with them. True, because we're all in a will to receive, and we can imagine the sorrow or joy of others. But here, no, it says you literally have to be in the others. And that is called a miracle. We don't have that opportunity. The matter doesn't have that option. Therefore, we're doing everything, all we can, as if we really want that to happen. As if. Because we don't really, we can't really describe it. And then what's called Shamir, that emery, that light, influences us and builds from the will to receive a real vessel of bestowal. So you can't say that Bina, well, I don't know, because that's from above downwards, but you can't say that Bina is depicted by itself. It is depicted by the lower ones when they feel bad. You can say, yeah, but then, you know, the cow suffers more. The cow who wants to feed suffers more than the calf who wants to suckle. But we don't understand. It's not that kind of suffering of when it's bestowal. She suffers only in the lower one. That's the place of her suffering. We don't have the words to express that. How can I feel the lower one or whatever the others feel alone? I always attach that to myself. And this is how I'm able to share the joy or sorrow. So this is why this is called a miracle. These are things that until the light comes, this is why it's called a finding. Until the light comes, you can't feel it, you can't imagine it. And this is given to the extent that a person can bear that, because he starts suffering for others, suffering for all that happens to others. What are we talking about? Okay, so we'll continue. Item Shin Lamed Gimel. Journey means that the illumination of Mochin came out of the interior, out of Binah, where all the work was completed to its end. And she journeyed out of there and dwelled outside in Zalanpin in a way that she went out from above, from Binah, and she journeyed and dwelled below in Nukva. And the hammer and the axe, all the iron tools, are the rest of the lower degrees, that all of which depend on Nukva. Yet they were not heard and were not accepted inside when the Nukva went up to unite above and to clothe Abba Ve'ima and suckle from there. The hammers and all the iron tools extend from the point of the quality of judgment, from Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction. And all the mochin which the Nukva attains is because of the concealment of that point of judgment. And only the point of the quality of mercy is revealed in her. And therefore she was able to rise to the internality, to Abba Ve'ima. What does it mean that it is revealed in her? That on my will to receive, I see forms that the point of bestowal sketches on me. It's like on a computer screen, on a TV screen, where the picture is drawn from one edge of the screen to another hundreds of times in seconds. And in the same way, that point of Bina generates all those forms upon my will to receive. And this is what's called the voices and the parts of the body and so on. All that I see and all that I feel. In corporeality, in spirituality, it is all depicted by that point that comes from the Bina and goes over my matter, my substance. So we have to try to be dependent upon that point. What is it painting? What does it try to show me? How will I depend on that? How will I invite its action? How will I understand what it's doing? My matter is just matter. What's important is the expectation, the effort of what do I want that point to create, to awaken in me. So not thinking about my will to receive, but more about what's working, that force of bestowal, which generates all those images and pictures to me. Because the spiritual world we're talking about is entirely forms of bestowal, which the Bina forms on me, on my matter. Only forms of bestowal, that's all I see. And if those degrees of the quality of judgment were heard, which extend from her and are called the iron vessels or iron tools, then she would lose the mochin right away. The iron tools are called the quality of judgment, to receive from above downwards, to awaken the will to receive. This creates an immediate detachment between Malchut and Bina, and everything disappears.
However, they were using the emery and did not need to awaken those kelim. Therefore, their presence was not heard. This is why it is written, when it was being built, as it was built by itself, without the help of the lower ones. Shin Lamed Dalet. And then, when the Nukva sucks from Abba Ve'ima, all the worlds are in gladness and are nourished by the Nukva and are filled by the blessings. And then all the worlds are in the form of one in one unity. The world always referred to the worlds of Bia, as we remember from the preface to the book of Zohar, when Zohar speaks only about the souls that are in the worlds of Bia. And if it's above it, then only what comes from above with us, towards the souls. So that's all that it's about, what happens with the souls and inside the worlds of Bia. Meaning to the extent that it connects to Nukva, the Atzilut, and in their connection to Nukva, in their integration in Nukva, they receive from Bina. And in all the worlds, there is no separation. Because the tools of iron, the point of the quality of judgment, is not heard. Hence, all the worlds are in the form of one, as in Bina, the point of the quality of mercy. And then there is no separation in all the worlds. Because any separation is only from the point of the quality of judgment. And after all the worlds, each took their share from the Nukva, they all expand and return to their own form, to where they were appointed, to their own place. Meaning our perception is divided into these parts, into these layers, called worlds. Shin Lamed Hei, and the whole earth was of one language and one speech. All the double organs, like ears, eyes, lips, are, by the integration of the two points, Bina and Malchut, in one another, one from Bina and one from Malchut. And there was no disclosure to the point of the quality of judgment, tools of iron, but everything happened only at the point of the quality of mercy. It turns out that the zivug da'ka'a that's done in the lips, as in speech, did not happen, was not done in the two lips, but only on the upper lip, from the quality of mercy. And the whole earth was of one language. The zivug da'ka'a that was made in the form of dibur, speech, did not include the two languages, the two points, as yet. But the zivug da'ka'a was considered only one language. For this reason, and one speech. When there was still no separation in the worlds, and everything was in the form of a unit, bonding and unity, oneness and unity, when only the prina of bina controls is called one language. And when they journeyed east, when they went from the east of the world, meaning when they extended the illumination of the left line from below up, from above downwards, where the east, the east of the world, the each east is also first in Hebrew, he forbade them. Hence, and they found a valley in the land of Shin'ar, from which the judgments expand to all sides, which is the head and the beginning of Malchut, to be separated from Kedusha, from holiness. When they begin to move towards Babylon, right? The evolution becomes more and more egoistic. They had one language, one, you know, the control of Bina, and from there begins, Malchut begins to appear, with her will to receive, with her judgment, more and more, again. And when they journeyed east, they went from the east, from the former one in the world, of Sedbina, meaning they extended the illumination of the left line from above downwards. From above downwards, meaning, well, it comes out of Bina, because out of Gvura, because Bina is the higher Gvura. The left line too comes out of Bina, which the primordial one in the world forbade them, I've said, to exit this door. Hence, and they found a valley in the land of Shin'ar. From there, the judgments expand to all sides. This is the Rosh and the beginning of Malchut, to be separated from Kedusha. That's why it's called a valley. And also in Hebrew, the word valley bikam also means fissuring, division. Because God has made one opposite the other, and there are klipot. In the klipot, there are four discernments, chubtum, and the klipa of Babylon is the chokhmah de klipa, the head of all the klipot. I was asking, how are those internal descriptions? No geography, no physics, no nothing. The quality of bestowal and the quality of reception. Get used to attaching names to it. And these names should not remind us of Babylon, the river, the hill, the valley, but observations, qualities only. Shin Lamed Vav, why don't you read again? Because it's the beginning of the awakening of the ego. And the whole earth was of one language. And the whole earth was of one language. The zivug daka that was made in the form of dibuk speech still did not include the two languages, the two points, only one point, bina. However, the zivug daka was only in the form of one language. For this reason, and one speech. For there was still no separation in the world, and everything was united and one, under the dominion of the Upper One, all said. And when they journeyed east, when they went from the east of the world, the primordial one of the world, meaning they extended the illumination of the left line from above downwards, which the first one in the world forbade them. Hence, and they found a valley in the land of Shinar, from which the judgments expand to all sides, which is the Rosh and the beginning of Malchut, to be separated from Kedusha. Because God has made one opposite the other. And in the Klipot, there are four discernments too, Chubtum. And the Klipa of Babylon, Babel, is Chochmah the Klipa, the head of all the Klipot. Go on. Shin Lamed Vav. However, it is written, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from there, it was parted. And how do you say that the valley in the land of Shinar is the beginning of the separation? The separation begins after Malchut Datzilut, the garden. Because since they went from there, from the garden, they found the valley in the land of Shinar, and separation occurred. But when they are gathered in the garden to nourish and do not extend the illumination of the left from there down, then there is no separation there, even though they're there in that place. Shin Lamed Vav. But it is written, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was departed. It was parted. And how do you say that the valley in the land of Shinar is the beginning of the separation? The separation begins after Malchut Datzilut, the garden. Because since they went from there, from the garden, they found a valley in the land of Shinar, and the separation occurred. But when they are gathered there in the garden to nourish and do not extend illumination of the left from there down, there is no separation there. This is why it is written about the garden, and from thence parted. But if you go from the garden, a separation occurs, as it is written, and when they journeyed east from the garden, they found a valley. Had they not parted, had they not journeyed from there, they would not have found a valley in the land of Shinar and would not be separated from Kedusha. Hence, the valley in the land of Shinar is considered the beginning of the separation. You could say that Bina herself creates that separation, that parting in Malchut. It evokes it. The will to receive it in itself is immobile. Nothing happens with it. It's an unturned stone. You can't do anything with it. Bina plays with it. And then it changes. Shin Lamed Zayin. and the whole earth was of one language. Because then the world was in Yesod, and one essence and one root in the quality of mercy. And they had one faith in the Creator, so as to not sin before Him. And when they journeyed east, when they journeyed from the primordial one and the tenet, the pillar of the world, the faith of all, they found a valley. They found a find. And because of it, they came out from under the lower faith, to the lower lip.
Item Shin Lamed Chet, and there was the beginning of the kingdom of Nimrod in Babel. We're talking about inner qualities only, so whether it says valley or the upper lip, the lower lip, the quality of Malchut, they come together, they break apart, what else happened, their journeys, all of that. He introduces more and more names and terms. So again, if you don't know where to put them, doesn't matter. But we're talking about discernments within us. Bestowal or reception, more or less, no more than that. That's all there is. And the whole earth was one... And the beginning of Nimrod's kingdom was Babel, because he took the force to hold on to the authority of the Sidra Acha from there. And they found a valley in the land of Shinhar. That is where they took the desire in their hearts to get out of the domain of the upper one to another domain. Though the land of Shinar, Babel, the Rosh and the root to separate from the Creator. Because the building of the Klipot, the shells, started with the sin of the Tree of Knowledge. Although they existed before the sin of the Tree of Knowledge, because the issue of the Klipot is the revelation of the deficits in the Kedusha, the holiness. And therefore, even from the Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, when the deficiency of reception was revealed in Malchut, and she avoided receiving the direct light into itself, then the Malchut of Klipot emerged correspondingly. And so, to the extent that the Malchut of Kedusha became integrated with Zeranpin, then the Zeranpin of Klipa emerged also. However, Zone of Klipot don't have any real force of separation. They're only an existence without any force. Because the diminution of Malchut of Kedusha, where they emerged from, was not a diminution at all. But on the contrary, by that diminution, the Malchut was corrected by way of Zivug Daka, the coupling of striking. And she emanated all the worlds, and it is in her entire glory and greatness. Therefore, although it was made due to the Tzimtzum Aleph, first restriction, the existence of the zone of Klipot, it was still without any force of harm and separation. The beginning of the separation force was revealed in them together with the sin of the Tree of Knowledge. After the Malchut was built with the vessels of Binah and she received direct light into them, and by the sin of the Tree of Knowledge, the quality of judgment has reappeared in her, that she is not worthy of receiving, and all the lights then departed from her, then a true flaw was revealed in the Malchut. And because Bina was included in her, was integrated with her, then that flaw arrived to Bina also. And to the extent that Bina came back to Chokhmah in order to bestow Chokhmah upon Zon, then the sum of the flaw also reached Chokhmah. Because the major part of the sin of the tree of knowledge was receiving the illumination of Chokhmah from above downwards. Therefore, four deficits were revealed in the Kedusha, corresponding to Chub and Zon. And from these flaws, four phases of Chubtum of Klipot were made. However, with the punishment of the flood and the exit of Noah and his sons from the ark and making the sacrifice, then much of the sin of the tree of knowledge was corrected, and the filth of the snake was almost entirely cancelled, as in the giving of the Torah, meaning that desire that was revealed as broken, as evil, something of that already became corrected. Okay, let's keep reading. We'll maybe repeat it later. And therefore, the buildings of the Klipot were cancelled for that time, and they didn't have any root and reality left in Chokhmah and Bina, but only in Zon, as they were before the sin of the tree of knowledge. As it is written, and the land shall be one language. And specific things, there was no force of separation in the world. Is that okay or not? Where is the difficulty of putting things together and seeing them as our inner structure? No difficulty? Okay. Okay, that's fine. Yes? When it talks about Malchut and Zeranpin, maybe you can explain that. Malchut and Zeranpin, that is exactly what I can't connect. What do I know about Malchut and Zeranpin? When he tells me hills and valleys, this is something I can describe. Did you see those movies when you as if zoom into a body and you're going through the veins and organs and traveling there? So this is how you are in your desire. Everything is your desire. Imagine it that way. The Sefirot, precisely. What do I know about the Sefirot? But when you zoom into a body, and instead of those flesh-based parts, you know, tissues and all that, instead of that, imagine different qualities. Here's this desire, there's that desire. Just like you think about brain and liver and other organs. So then you kind of move to thinking about forces. Although you still kind of describe it as right and left, and when you say right and left, you don't really think bestowal and reception, and one's above and one is below, and so on. But you somehow come closer to what belongs to the light and the kli, the desire and the quality in the desire. Just shift every object, every image to a quality of reception or bestowal, a combination of both. Yes, the one. But even when you do that, it's unclear where these desires are, and the process is also kind of fast in terms of, okay, so wait a minute, so where is this, where is it? It doesn't matter. Even if you read just a piece from here. So what? But I can't put it all together. So you'll forget everything one moment after that. So what? The important thing is the effort. Putting the effort. If you keep your picture, you won't be able to change it. On the contrary, every time you'll depict it differently, and it'll be either easier or harder to put together, and different images or different... just like you imagine the man's body made up of all its parts, flesh and veins and all that. Describe in that way the combination of forces. There is no more than that. Okay, so let's say the heart pumps blood. Up here, I can't see what is something's role, and I can't put something to its role, and even if I understand right and left, so what is the role in the system, and how... Well, that search is good. If that's what I'm hearing, then this is good. We know that Jacob is Tiferet, and here it says the Ranpin. So it's Zeranpin also, and it's also called the Kadosh Baruch Hu, blessed be He, and other things. So what? This doesn't matter to me right now. What matters to me is that in the moment, I have to make the connection that belongs to the forces of reception and bestowal as much as I can. The combination of these two forces builds the entire picture. Rav, you explained to us at some point that in the past that there is a force that prevents the lower ones from seeing the cause and effect. Now, I wanted to understand the concept of a miracle. I think it's on the same level. What is the connection between these two things? A miracle is something that can't happen in my eyes. Say that this glass starts flying. That would be a miracle. Why? Because according to what I know, it's supposed to gravitate. And this is called a miracle. A miracle means that a phenomenon cannot happen in my vessels. So my vessels are completely vessels of bestowal, of reception. I know how to use them to fulfill myself and to use others to fulfill myself. That's nature. That's it. This is nature. Suddenly above that nature, a miracle happens to me. I emerge out of that nature. I go out of it. The Exodus from Egypt. What does it mean to be above nature? I don't know. When that miracle happens to me, I know. So that's called a miracle. Some force of gravity pulls me out from one quality to another. Later, that force breaks me too. You see, what did Noah lack? He was brought to some valley, to some place, and he departs from there and so on. And that's also a miracle, both in terms of klipa or in terms of kedusha. It doesn't matter. These are all forces where we can't do anything about them. We don't have these actions. It is written, we don't have deeds. Only from what we learn, we have to try to have that force working on us.
So that what's written here will happen to me. This whole book that I read from beginning to end is just a commentary on the Torah. So you have to experience the whole Torah from beginning to end on yourself, on your desire. It's called having to write a book of Torah in your heart. That's it. And then it's considered that you've completed the corrections, all the discernments, the images, the pictures, the combinations of forces. It's all registered. And then you acquire a complete kli, ready to understand, to be impressed, to be similar to the Creator. So we only need to want it to happen. And not be afraid, it's Babylon, the sin of the tree of knowledge, this is good, this is bad, it doesn't matter. I want to be in that place. I want to feel that state. So it'll happen in me now. Yes. I want to ask if the feeling is right in my keli. Is it possible that all these portions are like resuscitation to the soul? At one time, in the beginning, it was a little shallower, and then to the right, and then you give us something else that we felt like to the left. Like in this portion, I feel like it started very nice and perfect. We're all connected. There are miracles. And then we're coming out of Eden. I don't know, I've said. I don't know. That's personal. No, not necessarily. If you could see what he's writing about now from the perspective of bestowal, then you would see great revelations here. You wouldn't be reading it as something that happens with his will to receive, which becomes coarser and heavier, but you would see it from the perspective of the Creator who does these things as resuscitating, reviving the will to receive at a higher degree. You wouldn't connect with the creature, but with the Creator. In every state, you have two perspectives. And you need to acquire a third. Well, yes. With respect to inner work, I can't combine the attempt to search for the forces with the attempt to do the prayer for the many. What do I do? In inner work, you can't combine the search of this image with the prayer for the public, for the many. I understand you. It's true. If you did the preparation for it and failed, then you failed. Never mind. The important thing for you now is to try to just cling to the story and feel it as deep as you can inside, that it's happening in my desires, in my qualities. That's the important thing. To confuse it with the group and the connections, we can't. It's still not all, it doesn't all sit together. When the light comes, it'll allow me to see these things as one. That's the meaning of one speech, the force of Bina. I feel like if I search for it within me, it's as if it's just me. Yes, you opposite the upper force. Fine. So it's a problem. I have no group. No, it's not a problem. We are united initially, and we all want it. There's a spirit that we're all reading the Zohar. We all want to achieve it. That spirit exists. Except you can't connect me and other in one kli above the hatred to create love, and in that love to discover Babylon and the exit from it and the unity and the detachment between Noah and the Ark. So you can't do these things. And at the We also can't do it at the level that it happens. It's still vegetative, animated, speaking in all the senses. It'll come. Don't rush it. Let the light make its impact gradually. But by sitting together and trying to do it together, and we're all delving in to try and connect to the qualities of Bina, actions of Bina, and we want these actions to appear in us, then some curiosity will appear in us, some perhaps other egoistic goals will appear in us. Never mind, but it's Lolishma. And it'll work, bit by bit. I feel good. It's happening. Yes. During the reading, I felt a great inner effort. There were pulses that sending me back. Like I was distracted and then I was sent back. I've said, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we'll get back, sometimes not. You need to not care. The Zohar is not like Talmud Esosfilot. If I missed a few pages, then perhaps I won't understand anything now. There's no such thing in the Zohar. No such thing. You can start from the end to the beginning. You can go from the middle in both directions. There's no difference between the portions. There's no before or after in the Torah. None. You can start from the land of Shinar onwards without knowing about Noah anything. It won't stop you from advancing. You try where you are in the few sentences that you see to try to feel what it is. You understand, you don't understand, more or less. You remember, you don't. Nothing, I'm telling you. With respect to the end desirable result, just the revelation, it'll make no difference. It'll only make you more sophisticated and, clever. And that might be actually detrimental to you. The question is, sometimes I feel I detach and then I reconnect. During the detachment, is it still affecting me? If you, in principle, in general, try to be in it all the time and you become detached, then it came from the higher providence. That's how it should happen. You know, you need to regret it a little bit, to make another effort, to go into it in a different way, not like before. There are different calculations about it and considerations that we don't know. But in general, everyone is in it. Yes. Little kids study whole days, and I feel that we're like taking a walk into the spiritual world. Can we live it on our day-to-day lives, 24 hours a day? Well, yes, our Zohar lessons are kind of one lesson. I don't know how to... They're discrete lessons, although they're almost daily, but still, they're not complete days, not days and nights. We will also try to have them in the evening on television, and to during the day be in it too. And the rest of the study will be in addition to the Zohar. We will see how the articles, how we see them through this light. Yes, the preface to the wisdom of Kabbalah, the study of the Ten Sefirot, the letters. It should all kind of accumulate and connect. It's like a big like a fighter jet plane carrier, aircraft carrier, and you have all those satellite ships. So those are the essays. We have to get used to it to see how it happens, how we get used to it. But that's how it'll be in the future. In a few months, maybe six months. That's what will happen. And then during the day, with what we do, what we hear, when we go to sleep in the evening, it'll all be around that book, and we will accordingly determine what we read in the evening, what we read before going to sleep, something to watch on television or on the internet, maybe half an hour before we go to sleep. Everyone watches something, say, from 8:30 to 9 or from 9 to 9:30 before we go to sleep. So it'll be the same for everyone, like a mini lesson. We'll do it. That's what will happen. But for now, go on. Page 56, column B. And when they journeyed east, they agreed to sin by extending wisdom, chokhmah, from above downwards, as is the counsel of the serpent. They found a valley. They found Bina de Klipa, that before that it was already cancelled from the world and disappeared, was gone. But now it reappeared and they found her, because they went from the primordial one of the world, from the east of the world, and the filth of the serpent appeared in them. We learned that there's Bina de Malchut, Bina de Bina, Malchut de Bina, and Malchut de Malchut. And you have this integration. The interesting thing is, all the expansion, any expansion, good or bad, is to the extent of the quality of Bina. We're talking about the people of Israel. That's either high or low when they broke. And then you have that same quality by which it becomes either good or the worst of all. Therefore, she was, the Bina de Klipa was rebuilt for them immediately, but only in the form of Katnut in her, called Bik'ah, valley, or division, fissuring. This name indicates the fissuring of the degree which occurred in the Bina because of her, of the integration of Malchut within her. When the flaw of Malchut mingles with Bina, and from this flaw, Bina de Klipa is built. When they sinned and came out in her from under the higher faith, the Bina. Because Malchut is called faithful, and Bina is called higher faithful. And the measure of the verse is, and as it is written, and they found a valley, katnut, smallness, and pgam, flaw, in the land of Shin'ar, Bina de Klipa, and they dwelt there. They corrected it into a dwelling place. They extended for her the complete kelim in a way that she becomes worthy of mochin de chokhmah. Because katnut is considered like a desert that is not suitable for humans to dwell in. And gadlut is considered a dwelling place. And they immediately said, come, let us build us a city and a tower to extend the Gar de Chub into this Bina de Klipa, called city and tower, in a way that they shine from above downwards to this world. And with that, they build the Chokhmah, the Klipa.
And it turns out now that the land of Shin'ar was built by their strength, force to be Chokhmah of Klipa. The wicked are like the troubled sea. When the sea comes out of its place of correction and it becomes endless, when it strives to pass through the sand, which is its boundary, and pour onto the land, then it is expelled and it comes out of its place, just like one who is intoxicated by wine, and he doesn't sit in his place, but he comes up and down, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. The waters cast mire and dirt and all the filth from the bottom of the sea to its boundary. Item Shin Mem. Like that are the wicked in the generation of Babel, who came out of the corrected path of the primordial of the world, and they went without correction, as if they are intoxicated by wine, and they clinged to the Bina of Klipa, and they came out of the straight path to a twisted path, to the valley in the land of Shinar, that the flood was found there. For it cannot rest, because the crookedness in their path is the flaw that they found in it, and it caused them to walk without correction, without decoration, until they said, "Let us build us a city and a tower," and this is how they build the chub of the klipot, the shells. Item Shin Mem Aleph. Moreover, they were filled with anger, as they said, "Let us build us," because by that they meant to fulfill their lust, and any greedy one is angry. It is written, "Its waters cast up mire and dirt." The klipot, shells, are called mire and dirt. They all elicited filth and disgust from their mouth outside. And the filth of the serpent that they continued with their saying, "Let us build us," until they were impurified by the impurity of the snake, and the snake impurified them. Item Shin Membet. Let us build us. Let us is an invitation, a speech without action. However, the speech which they made caused the building of a tower and a city above, and they all came with the evil advice to disagree with the Creator, and the nonsense and the stupidity of the heart came to them. Item Shin Mem Gimel. The nonsense overtook their heart, but they came in Chokhmah of Klipa in order to leave the domain of the Holy Upper One to another domain, to the Klipot, and change the honor of the Creator to the honor of a foreign god. And in all the issue, there is a matter of the upper Chokhmah. Item Shin Mem Daled. They came to this valley, a foreign domain, with the flaw of Bina of Klipa, and they settled there, and that place was revealed to them to be stuck in the fish of the sea. And the wholeness of the vessels of Bina was revealed to them as worthy for the settlement of people to receive Chokhmah. The sea means Chokhmah. The fish of the sea means the levels of Chokhmah. They said, "Here is the place to settle and strengthen the heart so that the lower ones will enjoy," meaning to receive from above downwards, which is the place for the shells. Right away, they said, "Let us build us a city and build in this place a tower and a city." Item Shin Mem Hei, and let us make us a name. This place, the place of Klipot, will be our God, not another place. And we will build a tower and a city in this place to receive the chub of klipot. Why should we rise above and receive from below upwards where we can enjoy that way? This is a good, corrected place to receive from above downwards. And let us make us a name, a God, to work there, lest we be scattered in other levels, and we will scatter to the four corners of the world. Yes. Yes, Bensi. What is the deal with the book of Zohar that was hidden for so long, and now it's just a text that you have to read, and it's inside of me, or it's not outside of me? What's so special in it? What's the story of the book of Zohar and the wisdom of Kabbalah in general, but specifically the book of Zohar? It is that we need to read and anticipate redemption, the remedy. I labor and I found. So what is the problem, right? Why couldn't we just read 5,000 years ago or 500 years ago and expect redemption, expect the remedy? We couldn't, because the inner and outer conditions were not prepared for that. It's not like we were not smart enough or too stupid or not sensitive enough. Rather, there is a mingling, an inclusion of the souls that has to happen. There are conditions in the general malchut that the exile that Israel was in didn't happen in order to correct them. And although we are correcting ourselves today, we're not really correcting ourselves. Together with us, there are many, many other souls, and the situation itself too, whether we reveal those souls as our friends or not, it doesn't matter. The state of the world is different. We have to understand that the wisdom of Kabbalah that was revealed in Babel in a small group, and today it's still in a small group, it's not the implementation yet. The implementation is precisely in those who can't implement it on their own. Those who can't implement it on their own. In any Adam and Eve, as it is written, the 7 billion people who themselves cannot, but there is already an inclusion today. There's already some globalism that today our world somewhat becomes similar to the spiritual world, in that there is a connection between the souls. Well, we don't see the souls, but instead of souls we see people. It's the same thing, we just see it that way. So there is an image, a picture that requires correction, and that correction, if you look at the picture in the true way, it is broken souls whose correction can only happen by the revelation of Bina, the force of bestowal of Elohim, that will be revealed. So previously there was no option for that. The people of Israel didn't need to be in spiritual height and fall or anything like that for themselves. Everything was only done for the correction of the world. There is no other purpose for the people of Israel. Otherwise, what's the use of them? There is no use. And they shouldn't have. Like he writes in the article of Avot and Matan Torah, that the entire destiny of Israel is to induce the correction of the world. Otherwise, that group would not exist. So when the condition in the entire world was created so that in our world the same state of that is in spirituality becomes apparent, meaning the breaking. We cannot detect this breaking yet because it's a spiritual thing. We think it's a financial problem or whatever. But it's already becoming apparent. It's a revelation. It doesn't matter how much we can see it correctly or not. So, now you can use the remedy. Whereas before that, you didn't have the vessel to use it with. The world was not connected, integrated. The world was not evolved. Development simply hasn't come yet. We're talking about souls that are on the level of this world. We're not talking about spirituality. And the correction has to start from
below.
From the bottom. Therefore, before that, who could use the Zohar? After the ruin of the temple, all you need to do is wait. That's why they even set a date. After this and that amount of years, it'll happen. Why not before that? You don't have anyone to rush times before that. Neither Israel nor nations of the world. There is no way to rush times before that. Everything happens in its time. After there's an inclusion, integration, then there's a way to rush times. That's it? Okay? You satisfied? Yeah? About the technique. If intellectually, it doesn't look like there's a method, like there's a system here, what we're doing. Wait a minute. I'm not asking you about what we're doing here. You're doing, working with this for a couple of weeks now, right? You feel that this text changes you or not? So what are you asking? Tell us. Explain what you feel. Let's see. We're willing to hear. What do you think how it works? Come on. Is there some power in that? Some remedy or not? You can say it's like reading some other book. So I'm kind of excited or inspired, or I am impressed by the book and then I look at the world that way. I may even, you know, behave like the heroes in the book. So the book changes me a lot. What's the special thing here that is different from any other book? The most exciting, inspiring, influential book. Explain.
Or maybe it's the same or even less. Of course it's less. If I take some horror book, I'm going to be so terrified I wouldn't be able to sleep. Now I just close the door, you know. I go to sleep very quietly, peacefully. So what's so special about it? Tell us. Give us your impression. If you have any. I don't know what's special, but you know, you can talk about phenomena. Well, phenomena, okay, what? Got a bad stomach, what? The working on the text, like, say, when I was working on the text of the lessons, it's pretty similar, actually, the same phenomena. It's nothing new. It's when you suddenly feel all kinds of new tunes in the text. Well, any expert will tell you the same about his text. So you see. But you just ascribe it to different things. What you feel. Where's Chanoch? He's not here? No? Okay. Yes. The feeling is something thick that you're drinking. You don't know what to understand? And it affects you afterwards. Like it continues with you. And it surprises you. It doesn't happen like immediately. Okay, we'll continue and you'll see. What I want to say is that there's nothing else. There's nothing more than that. This is it. The work in reading, engaging in it, explaining more, explaining less, being more focused, less focused, combining it with things you know, or even without it, attached, etc. But hatred, engagement in it is everything. Of course, we have to add all the necessary preparations for it. We're also going to see everything we read in the articles, in the letters, in TASS and everything. Here, it all combines into one story. The wisdom of Kabbalah and philosophy, the group, the commentaries and the sfirot and whatever. Even everyday things, like current events, it all falls into one kind of roof, one story. That's it. Yes. It sounds very encouraging that a few booklets like that can bring the world to the end of correction. All you need to do is correct them. It just changes everything. Well, it's very encouraging if a few booklets like that can bring the world to the end of correction. I don't think it's all that simple. I think that around it, there has to be a vast explanatory system. There's a reason why there are introductions to the Book of Zohar. There's the Salam commentary to the Book of Zohar, which is not just reading. You know, you have to be immersed in the topic itself, in realizing it, in preparing for it, to unite, to close the ranks, to strive for bestowal, to know what bestowal is, to, you know, lo lishma, lishma. We think it's all just reading. We don't understand how immersed we are in it. It's like you dip something in and you take it out out of the paint. It's coated by the paint. You know, the object is the same here. You are approaching it with tons of things already. You're reading it with the spirit. Take a person from the outside and have him start reading. It's nothing you can buy or sell. These preparations are very important. I think we need to create a crash course at the campus and in television, which concerns the reading of the Zohar. We have to think. It's something that contains all the preparation for the right observation, for admittance. I don't think it can be all that easy and short, because you have to be impressed by the spirit of things. You have to get used to how Kabbalah sees things, the worlds, the potzafim, the sefirot, the spiritual process, those axes from above and from below, and you know the horizontal axis and upwards, we, the correction process and story from, you know, the process since Babylon to our time, a person has to be included in this picture. He has to see the world through it, our lives. Now we're looking at what's happening in life, in the crisis, in education, in politics, in our lives, in the climate, in everything. We're looking at it differently than other people. So of course there's got to be a course of that sort as a preparation. You don't have a choice. You can't just give them just the Zohar and that's it. You really have to work on it to make sure that this connection exists during the lessons and other preparations. Even the Congress that we want to do in February, we want to do it around the Zohar. So we'll see. But just reading, No. You need to give a person. You see how? The truth is, I don't want to do any talking, but you need to tell me you should, you shouldn't, you should more, you should say, you speak less. Here I'm still not. But of course, for beginners, we need to do more, to give more. Yes, Leo. Concerning a beginner's course of that sort, can you give us the emphasis? What should be there? What main topics? It's a whole philosophy. It's a perspective on reality. The important thing is undoubtedly the perception of reality. Kabbalah and philosophy, ontology, science, and all those things, that's not so important. Just a general shape of the sefirot and the worlds, that's a must. And the most important thing is the perception of reality. And our history, evolution of the will to receive, the role of Kabbalah in it. It's mandatory. If you're talking about a person off the street, he doesn't know anything. It's just you give him your outlook on life, on the world. Otherwise, he won't have the right perspective, or the right approach to the book. It's got to be a course of a few weeks or months until a person gets it and begins to see it this way. I don't know how long it's going to take. If you want to do it formally, you can do it short. But what happens afterwards? You need to see. Maybe with a short preparation, the Zohar itself can afterwards help him put his perspective into, you know, put his perception into order, and he'll see it correctly.